Take your Bibles, please, and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And if you're able, if you would please stand to your feet for the reading of the Word of God. If you're not able, you can remain seated. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, please. And we'll read verse number 13. I'll read it together. I'll read it first, and then if you'd read it together with me out loud the second time. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 13, the Bible says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." Now let's read it all together out loud. Ready? And begin. "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." Let's pray. God, we thank you, Lord, for this church today, that we can come to worship you, that we can come to hear your word, so that we can be instructed, that we can be helped. I pray, Lord, if there's anyone in this room today that does not know you as their Savior, they do not know if they were to pass from this life, if they would be in heaven or hell, I pray, God, that today they would trust in you. Be with our pastor now as he preaches, and bless and help him, Lord. Be with our family Fundy this afternoon. We continue and ask for your blessings, and thank you for blessing us today. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. As you're being seated this morning, turn your cell phone off. If you're not sure if it's off, look at it. If it looks like it's on, turn it off. Help us with this, please, this morning. We would appreciate that so much. Lord, it's very important you keep your Bibles open this morning. Most Sundays it's not. You can just close it. No, just kidding. But here's the deal. I want you to look at the word temptation in verse 13. There have no temptation taken you. Now, we understand temptation to be temptation to sin. And sometimes in the Bible, that is what it's talking about in the Scripture. If we were to take the time this morning, and I don't want to keep you from lunch, but in James chapter 1, verse 12 and verse 13, in those two verses, you'll see the difference between temptation to sin and the temptation of which we're going to speak this morning, and that's testing. Now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. It is important to understand that when James 1:13 says God never tempts us with sin, never. That's not part of God's testing. Well, he tested me with wrong and then sin. No, God does not tempt you with sin. But if you're his child, he is going to test you. How does that work in the Bible? Well, as you see, if we were to read the first 12 verses of this chapter, you'd see what it's talking about. The relationship it's talking about of the children of Israel coming out of Egypt's bondage, going to the promised land. And there were times when they were thirsty. And they're in the middle of nowhere. But God provided water from a rock. So he tested their circumstances. Then it talks about how the children of Israel were exposed to wickedness around them. And God was not tempting them with the wickedness. He was tempting them with obedience and staying faithful. So from just the context of Scripture, you can see that this temptation of 1 Corinthians 10:13 is the testing of God. Now, ladies and gentlemen, look at me. God does not do something to you when he tests you. He's doing something for you, with you, and through you. God doesn't just test us just to say, let's watch him squirm. It doesn't work like that. I was reading this week an article about a guy back in the 60s. His name was Higman or something like that. I forgot what his name was. And he had a test he wanted to do, scientific test. Put a person in a room, could be of all kinds of backgrounds, business people, all kinds of folks. Paid them for their time. Told them that as they sat there, they had a box in front of them that had two buttons on it. And they said, this button here we'll show you what it does in a moment. And it went through a wire and to a wall. And he said, on the other side of that room is a person sitting there. This person sitting next to you here in this room is going to ask them questions. If they give the wrong answer, you're supposed to shock them. He said, now the first wrong answer will be about an 18-volt shock. And there was 10 questions. And the last question said, you push that button, it's going to hit them with 450 volts of electricity, which would kill him. And this guy's idea was, if we can, could people be conditioned to do things like the Holocaust, genocide, could they be conditioned to do so? There was 100 people. Better than 80% of people were willing to hit the 450-volt button and actually kill the person on the other side of the room. Now, obviously, it didn't kill him over there. But they had an actor over there shouting out, making noise. But they also had someone come in the room and tell them, this is a scientific study now. We need you to do this, to follow through on this. And because of the pressure from the person to make it scientific, they were actually willing to push a button that killed somebody. We're going to start that in our schools, actually. No, we're not. See, that's what some people think God's testing's like. He's up there just pushing buttons, making you suffer, taking stuff away from you. You ever heard somebody do that before? Well, if he's such a loving God, why do we have to have... Oh, come on, people. Seriously, are we that shallow to think that a loving God would put you through something. It says, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will also with the temptation make a way to escape that you may be able to. Excuse me. God is doing something for you. And now look at me. And his testing is that God's doing something in you. We have a generation today that can't hardly withstand a stiff breeze because they haven't been tested enough in their life like previous generations. And then God, when he tests you, he's doing something. Look at me. He's doing something through you. The fact that he tests you and how you handle God's test says a lot to that person sitting next to you in this room this morning, across the table from you, that you go to work with, your area, your place where you live. You see, God doesn't play games with people's lives. It's not how it works, but he tests us. Now, there's some things to keep in mind when God tests you. Would you look at that verse again? There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. Here's something you need to recollect when God tests you, and that is, you ain't the only one. No, look at me. You're not going to go through a test that is not common to man. Somebody else has been through this before. Matter of fact, a whole bunch of somebodies. I've never met another Job in my life. The man in the Bible who in one day was very wealthy and had 10 kids and they were all adults and they had families and everything else. And in one day, this man got wiped out. He lost everything he owned. He lost everything economically. He lost all his family. One day, one wife, that's it, that's all you need. But he had one wife, 10 kids, they were all adults. They had houses, homes, and in one day he lost everything he owned. He was broke financially. And before it's over, this man is going to wind up with a disease so painful that he couldn't even sit, stand, or lie down except to go to a garbage dump and lay in the ashes to find some kind of comfort. Then his wife says, why don't you just cuss God and let him kill you and get it over with? And then his three friends come and sit there for a few days and they don't know what to say, which is usually what you should do. Then they just start hammering the guy and tell him, if you weren't so wicked, this wouldn't happen to you. This man's forsaken by everybody earthly speaking in his life. I haven't met a lot of people like that. Matter of fact, never met another one. But you see, the testing we have, it is common to man. Someone else has been through this. Here's what happens with this kind of testing. You go through something that's pretty severe and pretty deep. And after a while, you get to thinking, you know, nobody knows what I'm going through. Somebody's been there before. Someone's walked that path before. Well, what does that do for us, though? Well, it helps us to understand that if they got through it, so can I. And if they handled it well, so should I. And if they didn't do well with it, so shouldn't I. It's common to man. Everybody's had family struggles. Everybody's had marital struggles. Everybody's had issues with their job, their economy, their life, the leadership, blah, 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 blah. You name it. It's common to man. So when you're going through some testing, do a little recollecting and realize you're walking a path a lot of people have walked before. You're going through a valley and a lot of people have been through that valley. You're going through a dark midnight and a lot of folks have had to find their way through that dark midnight in their life. And it's not like, oh good, someone else is suffering. Every time I drive along the highway and someone's there changing a tire, I don't think, man, I'm glad that's not me. I always say, thank God, I hope somebody changes it and keep on going. But the truth is, how did they handle it when it came their time? That's why people, we need to be students of the Word of God in history. I mean, how did people go through this? You'll find somebody walked that path. Someone went to that health matter. Somebody went through that struggle. Someone went through that loss. Somebody did. Look at it, and you'll learn something. How did they handle it? Did they handle it well? Or did it handle them? So recollect something when you go through God's testing, would you, that it's common to man. Someone's been there. Look at verse 13 again. Here's a reassurance when you go through testing. But God is faithful. I don't know how they do it. I really don't. I've done over 400 funerals as a pastor these 40 years. And I've watched all kinds of people go through all kinds of things in their life and loss. I've done funerals for babies, little coffins about that big. Done funerals for teenagers who took their life. I've done funerals for people that the grief was so rich, so strong. And I think to myself, I don't know how they do it. Because I've stood there and done a funeral for one of my grandchildren. Now, we've buried all of our parents, grandparents. So, well, how'd you do it, Pastor Johnson? I didn't. He did. With me, God is faithful. Now the question is he your God? See, we want to go to something like that, a loss, and we want to reach out and grab a hold of God that we've just pretty much ignored. You know what I mean? We push him off. Leave me alone. Don't bother my living. Don't bother my life. But when trouble comes, woo, God's supposed to jump up like a good little puppy dog and run to my side. You know, there's something wrong with that thinking. There's something wrong with the idea that somehow or another I get to call on God for what I want and need from God. When it says God is faithful, it doesn't just mean he'll show up when you need him. It means he's been faithful all along. You know how you go through loss? You know how you go through trials? You know how you go through valleys? You know how you go through midnights? You know how you go through battles? Because the God who got you there, got you through it, and got you through the other side. God is faithful. Faithfulness requires two sides. Your side, his side. Who wants a marriage where the spouse is not faithful? Who wants a situation like that? Who wants a life where everybody in your life is not faithful in what they're supposed to do, but you are? You think God, look at me, you think God can just sit back and wait for us to show up when we feel like it, and then he's going to jump in and be God all over everything? And by the way, hey, look at me, don't blame God for that kind of stuff. Well, I went through some stuff and I asked God to help me, and where was God? Question, where were you before then? How about that part? And ladies and gentlemen, if he's your God because you trusted Christ and you got saved, you'll find that he's faithful, just as faithful in the good times as he is in the tough ones. So you do that. Would you please, when you're going through testing, would you be reassured of the fact that God is faithful? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They take their stand for God. King says nobody can't passes a law. You can't pray to anybody but the king. And they decided we're going to pray to God anyway. They're not going to tell us what to do. That governor knew some. I mean, excuse me. The wicked king is not going to tell us how to live our lives and what to do. And what happens? They pray anyhow. And what happens? They get thrown in a fiery furnace. What happened? They got burnt to a crisp. Do you know your Bible? Do you know your Bible? Uh-huh. And there they were. Walking around in the fire going, well, I don't know how in the world are we going to get out of this place? No, there was three of them in the fire. And then the king looks in there and he says, didn't we throw three people in there? Three people. I see four, and the fourth one is like the Son of God. God is faithful. Even in the heat of the fire, God is faithful. We're going to come back to those guys in a minute. But also remember this when you're going through, or know this when you're going through testing. There's the remembrance of testing. Look at verse 13. He will not tempt you above that ye are able. Have you ever heard someone say, God will never give you more than you can handle? No. No. Well, yes and no. That's a political answer. Yes and no. God will give you more than you can handle. Ask Nebuchadnezzar. He went up in the backyard eating grass for 7 years. God gave him more than he could handle. Scratching around the dirt like an animal, eating bugs, look like an animal, most powerful man in the world, huh? Did he get more than he could handle? Sure enough, he got a lot more than he could handle. Well, then what's the yes to that, Pastor Johnson? God will never give you more than you and he can handle. Yeah, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. We always leave that part about Jesus out. I can do everything I put my mind to. And what? All that self-pumped up foolishness of today. It's unbelievable to me. It all sounds good when the sun's shining and everything's going great. You're up against a friend, you don't have the answers, and you're in big trouble. That stuff of whatever you put your mind to is garbage. It's the wickedness of humanism that somehow or another, you're so stinking great. Well, let me help you this morning. You ain't that stinking great, and neither am I. I'm a little greater than you are. Just kidding. The truth of the matter is, here's the deal. No, but you and Jesus can do this now. He won't give you more than you and Jesus can handle. Guarantee you. But now, wait a minute. Don't leave him out. Don't get in that thing and just all of a sudden say, well, what's this all about in my life? And there's really a God. I don't think he should allow this to happen in my life. And I always think to myself, I understand the hurt. I even get the concept of the bitterness. But the bottom line is this. You got to be kidding me. You're going to turn on the only one who can really help you with this now? Phew, that's not smart. It's just not. Above that, ye are able. Yes, he will give you more than you can handle, but he'll never give you more than you and he can handle. And I guarantee you, you and he can handle it. Because I can do all things through Christ, which strengthened me. Verse 13. Then there's the release in testing. Do you see that statement there? The release. I didn't say escape. I said release. The word escapes there. We'll see it. Look at there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape. With the temptation. Not from it. With the temptation. Not away from it. With the temptation. The escape here is this. The ability to go on and do what you need to do. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fiery furnace, Jesus standing there with them. Do you know what? When the king passed the law and they defied the law to go ahead and do what God told them to do, the most dangerous place for them to be was outside of that furnace. The safest place was in the fire. That was the safest place. Does that make sense? Whoa, Pastor Johnson, you mean to tell me when I have trouble I'm supposed to go jump in a furnace? Well, if you're that dumb, go ahead. But no, that's not really the concept. The point is this, the escape, the release of their testing was in the fire with Jesus going through it. We want escape from any kind of testing. I don't want any troubles. I got enough troubles as it is. Why should I have to go through stuff? Blah, 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 blah. He never promises you an escape from testing. He promises you an escape with it. You and God are going to be able to get through this thing. Escape doesn't mean you run away from stuff. These people like to go to escape rooms. Is that what they're called? I tried one once. I had to call the cops to get out of there. I mean, I could not figure out. Really? Why do you want to go to some place you have to escape from? That's scary. You ever been in jail? Never mind. The point is, we think of escape means I'll just get around all the testing of my life. You're not going to do that. That doesn't happen. It isn't going to happen for you. It's not going to happen for me. His escape is with it. He'll go with the escape is with the temptation. Their safest thing, every time I read that about those three young men there in that fiery furnace, I think, you know, the safest place they could be was in the fiery furnace. The king was out there hating them. The army that threw them in there, the soldiers, big, best guys in the king's army, picked them up, carried them. The furnace was so hot, it killed them to throw them into the fire. The only thing that burned was the ropes that bound them, and now there's three guys with Jesus there. That was, the escape was in the fire with Jesus in the fire, in the furnace. That's the best place they could be. You mean to tell me, Pastor Johnson, the best place I could be is go through a time of testing in my life? Yes! Don't you see? Without that, we don't develop our spiritual muscles. Without that, we don't develop our faith, our confidence in God if we handle it right. We want to escape everything in society today and get all the benefits. It doesn't work like that. Last thing is this. Oh, by the way, and don't run from testing. Jonah did. Didn't turn out good for him. That whale thing, that's the real deal, you know. We're a long way from the ocean, but there's all kinds of different whales, you know. Jonah ran from God's test in his life. What'd he do? He wound up getting swallowed by a whale. Then got it right. Then went back and did what God... Don't run from the testing. Just trust God. He knows what he's doing. Then there's the restoration of testing. That ye may be able to bear it. After God tests you and you stay with him, you will be able to bear the lessons and the examples that you need to produce from that in your life. One test and that's all, Pastor? Nah. God tells Abraham when he's in his 60s and says, I want you to go to a country and a kindred and a land and tell you, and I'll tell you when you get where you're supposed to be. He didn't even tell him which way to leave town. That was in his 60s. He's 130 when God tells him to take that son he waited for and take him up on Mount Moriah and offer him for a sacrifice. 70 years later, he's still testing this man. To bear it doesn't mean, oh no, here comes another one. It means this, boy, the God who was faithful that got me through this test and brought me along and taught me some things, and I learned some things about my Bible and God and prayer and faithfulness and all that. Boy, that when the next test comes, we're ready for it. I was so excited when I was a kid. Kids are dumb. Kindergarten. I was so excited to bring homework home for the first time. Kindergarten. I have my little leaflet thing under my arm, and I'm walking home from school with my little neighborhood friend, and we pass these older kids, and we go, we got homework. And they looked at us like, dumb kindergartners, what is the matter with you people? Oh, I was so excited. Oh, man. This is big league, bro. Big league. I got homework, just like all the other grown-up kids get homework. Then I'm a senior in high school. And I thought homework was like the Holocaust. This is wicked. These people, why am I going to school if I have to take it home with me? Didn't you get it to me while I was there? Now I have to take work home by myself without a teacher standing there. This is not right. But I learned something. That test of 1 + 1 = 2. When I was a kindergartner. Later on, as a senior in high school, and I had that subjective math of 1 + 1 = 2, but could be larger or smaller. And then they changed the stinking rules on you. You used to not be able to end a sentence in a preposition. You can do that now. There was 7 continents. Now there's 6. Where'd the other one go? They combined it. That's not fair. I had to learn 7 continents. I say 7 continents for the children of America. They keep messing with the rules, changing things. But I found something out. What I learned as a kid helped me to learn what I needed to learn as an older person. And now that I'm 69, I got it all figured out. And now I'm like a kindergartner all over again. My wife says, why don't you grow up? You know, it's one of those things. You may be able to bear it. Doesn't mean you carry the load. And it's all nothing but trouble. It means you can handle it. You hear me? You can handle it. You can bear the testing of God because he tested you and you passed. You stayed faithful. You loved God. You did what the Bible said. You didn't listen to your flesh. You didn't listen to the world. You didn't listen to other people. You just did what just said, though he slay me, yet while I trust in him, he's my God, I'm his child, and I'm not moving on this thing. I'm just going to stay faithful to God. You know what happens with that? You get this constitution of a battleship, for goodness sakes. You're ready. You can bear this thing. Then, because I guarantee you, the test to kind of increase a tad in their intensity. But later on, you find out God is still faithful. God has made a way. God is there for you. You can handle this. You can do it. You may be able to bear it. But that's if you pass the test because you stay faithful and do what God wants you to do. That's because you pass the test because he is your God. And that's at salvation. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Let's stand to our feet, please, this morning.